Well, after those specials, I don't hardly know what to say. And you want to gamble with your souls and miss heaven? That was beautiful. We serve a God tonight that is in the stone rolling, mountain moving, salvation business for every single person who will come to Him and let Him. He is calling every one of us by name. He loves us. He's committed to our salvation. He wants to see us into heaven. And He's going to be there for you. I'm encouraged in the Lord tonight. I feel overflowing in the Lord. Those of you that maybe know me better than others, I have some family members here. Angela and Brent know me pretty well. I'm not just a bubbly person a lot of the time. But I feel overfilled with the Lord tonight. And I have a message that I trust encourages you as much as it has encouraged me. I want to start tonight in the 7th chapter of Proverbs. This won't be our primary text, but I want to start with it and read several verses. Proverbs 7:1 says, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night." And the rest is history. You all know the end of that story. And the masses in the world today, they are following away. They are being drawn by the false advertisement of the world, by the flattery, by the empty promises, by all of those things that appeal to our flesh. We are drawn to come and pass by the corner of sin, pass by the corner of that would draw on our natural interests. I want to tell you tonight, we have the best that life has to offer. We have the very best. Young people, don't give consideration to the alternative. This is the best way to go. The other end is an end of desolation, of dead ends, of disappointment, of heartache, of disillusionment, and eventually eternal death. And the enemy would like to disguise it and cause it to look like an attractive way. He'd like to make it look like a way that you can handle and that you can take what's good out of it and avoid the other. It doesn't work that way. You get the whole package. You want to go down that street? You want to play with it? You want to touch it? You get the whole package. And I want to tell you, it does not have a good end. But I want to tell you what does have a good end. It's the way of the Lord. It's godliness. It's holiness. It's abundant life. And the Lord has made a way for every one of us. If we'll follow the words of the Lord, if we'll keep His commandments, if we keep His laws, the apple of our eye, if we bind them about our fingers and write them upon the tables of our heart, we will have abundant life. I want that. And I'm encouraged tonight that I can have it. And so can you. Because this way is a personal way. God knows you. He knows your name. And He's calling you. And when you answer him, he hears. He hearkens. I don't know if there's another passage in the Bible that is more of a favorite of mine than in Malachi, where it says, "And those that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened. And a book of remembrance was written." And I can just see the Lord up there. And I can see him up there seeing us in the battles that we go through and the temptations we have to fight and all. And he looks down and he sees some of his people saying, I'm going the way of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm standing for the Lord. And I can just see the Lord pull out that book of his people that we talked about the other night and making some notes. He talked about me. He loves me and he's going my way. And a book of remembrance was written for those that thought and about his name. And it said, "There will come a day when I make up my jewels." And that book of remembrance will be opened. And he'll look down and say, "Oh yes, I remember them. I know who they are. They're in my book." It's the best way, folks. There's no better way than the way of the Lord. The other way, it's a dead end, bankrupt way that has no future. Don't go that way. Don't be tempted that way. Don't be fooled by the false advertising of the world. Thank the Lord for a way that is right, that's true. Thank God for a way tonight that puts our feet on a solid rock that doesn't move. It's a sure foundation. It'll carry us through. There is a blessed assurance about it. It's personal. I want to learn how to be more willing and obedient so that I can continue to eat of the good of the land. Now I'd like to turn to the 8th chapter of Acts. This is a beautiful account. In the 8th chapter of Acts, in the 26th verse, it said, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now listen, and when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. The eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Isn't that a beautiful story that's true? You can't make this stuff up. I mean, this is the way the Lord works. Beautiful transformation of lives. People that have no hope, that don't understand, that don't know the way, and they have an honest heart, and the Lord comes along to whosoever will, and he puts somebody in our path. He sends his Holy Spirit to lead and to guide us. And he's so faithful to us. A beautiful example of a man who had a willing and obedient heart. And he came to the place and said, well, I heard what you just read and I heard about baptism and I don't know what all he said, but I want to die out to myself and I want to arise in newness of life and I want the old things to be passed away and I want all things to become new. And here's this body of water, so what doth hinder us? Why wait? Let's stop. Let's get it done. Let's do it. I want to be like that. And I don't want to just pass by Philip. I want to make a little comment about Philip. We preached last night about being separate, about coming out and being separate, separated unto the Lord, separated unto truth, not putting ourselves in the place where we're influenced by the world in a way that begins to move us, and being careful that we don't blur the lines between what's right and what's wrong, and being willing to be not just different, but separate and be committed to that. Do you know what happens when we do that? We experience abundant life. We find what the world's looking for. And here's the way that the Lord works. When we become separated from the world, the Lord gives us what the world needs, and He sends us back into the world, not to become part of the world, not to become of the world, but to take the gospel message and the abundant life that everybody else needs and craves. And that's our commission. The scripture said Jesus was a friend of sinners. His great commission was go out into the world and preach the gospel. It wasn't to hole up somewhere and keep it all to ourselves and say, well, we're not going to be part of anybody. But it was, I want to give you abundant life. I want you to become separated unto me and my cause. I want you to let these other things go. I don't want you to be tied to them. And then I want you to go to the world and show them the difference that makes a difference. Because that's what they need. That's what the world needs. God wants us to fill our place in the body. Philip, it said he ran to him. Do you feel that sense of urgency? He didn't just walk. Here was a man that needed, and he ran to him. And the man that he came to was ready, and he was willing to listen, to take the words of the Lord and apply it to his heart and get to the place quickly where he said, what doth hinder me? Let's do this. This is the life that I want. It's the life that I want tonight. I want you to want that life. It's where abundant life is. It's where the river flows. It's where there is not a bankrupt system that you don't know what it's going to do from day to day. It's a sure foundation. It's not movable. Christ is our rock. He's our leader. The captain of the Lord of hosts has never experienced the taste of defeat. And he has never left anyone behind that is willing to follow him. I want to follow him. I want to make it. I want to be successful in the Lord. So it is today. When I receive the word of the Lord, when you receive the word of the Lord, and you have a willing and you have an obedient heart, and you come to the place where you're willing to say, what doth hinder me? Why do I want to hold on to these things? I'm willing to let it go. We will experience abundant life. I'm thankful for that. But it seems like we still live in the human body. We still live and we have an enemy of our soul that's after us. And it seems like that it is human nature. Sometimes we pin things on the enemy that I'm not sure is always the enemy. But it's human nature and it's part of, and the enemy works with us, where he likes to come along and tell us, you know, if you just withhold a little part, you can go most all of the way. But he tries to make us think that if you withhold a little bit to yourself, you can be better off. Folks, millions of people over thousands of years have tried to customize the word of the Lord all to no avail. It doesn't work right. It doesn't end up right. The satisfaction's not there. You see, people, when they're young, people my age that are still young, and they're looking ahead thinking, listen, I can customize it. I can do it a little bit differently here than maybe exactly what's been taught by those before and what the scriptures, it seems like, they point to. But I think I can make it work this way. But you see people that try that way, the older they get in life, watch their countenance. Watch the end of that thing. They find that it didn't work. And the enemy says, well, if you just do it a little bit differently, go a little bit further, then maybe you'll get what you're looking for. It doesn't work. Don't try it. Don't gamble with it. The stakes are too high. The consequences hurt. Even if the Lord has forgiveness, but there are consequences you have to live with your entire life, maybe in your children, maybe in your own life, that you could have avoided if you would have just followed the way of the Lord. It's the best way. Let's follow it. Is there sacrifice involved? Yes, there's sacrifice. But think about it this way. If you ask me for a dollar and you don't tell me exactly what you're going to get in return and I give it to you, I'm sacrificing a dollar. But if you give me a $100 bill in return, was that really a sacrifice? I mean, how big of a sacrifice was it? I had to give something up. And you say, well, that's not a very good example. Because you're comparing oranges to apples. That doesn't work. Listen, if I overindulge myself in a food that I really like, and I just keep eating it and eating it and eating it, and because it tastes good. But what is the result of that? I'm going to be sick. I'm not going to feel like doing anything tomorrow, and I may never like that food again. Now, is it a sacrifice if I decide that I'm going to eat in moderation and I'm not going to do that? Yeah, there's some sacrifice involved. But you see, the end is different, and it's worth it. If I jump out of a plane at 30,000 feet without a parachute, I might enjoy the ride down. Because there's freedom. There's no constraints. Nobody's holding me back. I can feel the air blowing through my hair. We laugh, but people do this all the time. That's the way the world is. No constraints. I just want freedom. But there's an end to it. There's going to come a day when I'm going to hit the ground. Am I willing to sacrifice the feeling of freedom and no restraint and the air blowing through my hair for that? No, I'm not willing.
No.
So is there sacrifice? Yes, there is. Are there things that we have to give up? Yes. The scripture tells us you're going to have to take up your cross because there is a cross. There are things you have to let go that you may not. There are times we don't know how we're going to let go of it. We mentioned the other day, the scriptures tell us that the kingdom of heaven, that hasn't been lost on me. On a lot of these parables, it says the kingdom of heaven is likened unto. It didn't just say, and he spake a parable and it said the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man with goodly pearls who went and he sold all of them so that he could purchase a pearl of great price. But you know what? He didn't get to experience the pearl of great price until he sacrificed those other things that the Bible didn't call rocks and pebbles and sand. He called it pearls because it was of value to him. There were things that were of value. They might have been hard to let go. Well, I got this pearl back at this point in my life, and it really meant a lot to me because so-and-so gave it to me, and And I really have an attachment to that. And this one over here. And they start to mean something. But the Lord comes along and he says, listen, I have something better for you, but you have to be willing to sell out. Why does God ask us to do that? Does he do it because he wants to, you know, make us pay the price before he gives us the reward? Is it because he wants to see how much we can suffer before he grudgingly hands us abundant life? No. It's because what we have doesn't even compare to the value that he has to give you. And he knows that. And he knows that we don't always recognize it. And so the scripture says, if you're going to come to God, you're going to have to come with some faith. You're going to have to realize that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He has something that he'll give you, but you have to believe in him. You have to believe to the point where you're willing to give up the things you don't think you can give up. Yes. And he does it because he has your best interest at heart. Yes. He does it because he has something better for you than what you have. You know, if the enemy comes along and he says, yeah, but if you give that up, you won't have it anymore. Yeah, right. You won't. Well, you know, if you stop doing that, if you don't participate in that as much as you used to, if you don't go there anymore, what are you going to do? I mean, you're going to have a boring life. God does not ask us to get rid of everything that's meaningful in our life, to leave us empty, and then tell us to read the scripture where it says, I'll give you abundant life. Well, look at that and say, that doesn't make any sense. I don't have abundant life. That's not what the Lord does. He's a God that fulfills his promises. And when we give up things, when we sacrifice things, and there are sacrifices, and there's painful sacrifices. Scripture tells us if the Lord suffered, we're going to have to suffer some. That's part of it. But the end is so much different. The consequence is so much different. Why would we not want to go this way? Why would we not want to be as the Ethiopian who read it and said, well, what doth hinder me? Let's do it. Lord, here's my life. I'll go this way. I'll give you my life. I'm going to commit myself to you. I'm going to have faith. I'm willing to let go of these things that I have before not wanted to let go of out of fear. The enemy uses fear all the time. He tries to get us to worry about this and fear this. And what are you going to do if this happens? And what are you going to do if that happens? And if you give this up, and what about your life? How's this going to affect your career? And what's going to happen with your companion? Maybe you'll never get married and you'll never make anything of yourself. And you're just going to live a lonely. That's the enemy. Who created us? Ourselves? Who put within you a desire to be satisfied? God did.
Yes, he did.
The Creator did.
Yes, he did.
And there's no one who knows better how to satisfy you than the one who put within you the desire to be satisfied.
That's right.
And he leaves a gap in there and then gives us decision rights to make a choice. Will I exercise faith and go this way, or will I not? Will I choose another way? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he said, all these other things I'll add unto you. I'll take care of them. I'm afraid sometimes people don't experience abundant life because they give up most, but they hold on to something. They withhold the part. And so they're holding on to this, and then they're wanting abundant life, and they're not getting it, and they're saying, well, I'm not experiencing abundant life. I'm not getting it. It doesn't apply to me. And the Lord's saying, if you let go and let me lead you, I'll lead you into abundant life. But you have to let go. Saw a bumper sticker one time that said, "Let go and let God." Exercise some faith. He made you. He knows how to satisfy you. Yes, there's a dying out that's required. But in death, life results. Do you think that it's a coincidence that there are examples in nature all around us where things have to die before life results? Sometimes I think we're walking around in the seed state all the time, seeing how attractive we can make our seed and admiring it. It takes the death of a seed to make a flower. It has to die completely. And until it dies completely, you don't get a flower. The fruit that we have, the trees that are out there, do you think it's an accident that the Lord designed it? That there has to be there's a death that occurs of this something that's really not very attractive? And then all of a sudden there's something beautiful when it dies? Do you think that was an accident?
No, it's not.
He's trying to tell us, even in nature, if you'll be willing to die out to what you feel like is so important, I'll give you something so much better than what you have. And yet we hold on to that seed and we admire it and we coddle it and we try to take care of it and we don't want anything to interrupt it. And this is important to me. And the Lord's back there saying, if you would just let it die, I could give you so much. I want to let him. Because it doesn't work the other way. Young people, it doesn't work. It never has worked. And you're not an exception. I'm sorry. I tell my children, you're not an exception. I mean, you are in many ways. But in one way, you're not. No one has ever been able to withhold a part and make it work.
That's right.
Ever.
You
can't have and live for the Lord with a divided heart. That's a miserable way of living. You'll either hold to the one and cleave to the other. You can't serve God and mammon. It doesn't work. But nominal Christianity, that seems like that's their business, to try to figure out how to make it work. Attend a church of your choice. What does that mean? To me, when I read that, it means if you keep looking, you'll eventually find a church that matches how you want to live. That's not what I want. I want life. I want abundant life. I want eternal life. I want satisfaction. I want the Lord to be able to burn inside of me, where I get up in the morning and I want to live for him. People say, well, are you living for the Lord? Yeah, I'm living for the Lord. Listen, I want to live for the Lord. That's why I want to live. That's why when I get up, I have a job I go to, but that's not what I live for. I want to live for God. And it works if you'll let go. If you won't hold back a part. We don't need to turn to it. In the 5th chapter of Acts, Brother Eugene mentioned Ananias and Sapphira the other day. They held back a part. You remember that story, right? There were those that had given all. And Ananias and Sapphira looked at that, and you know, they wanted the blessing that was associated with giving all. They looked at that and they thought, well, that looks good. That's what I want. But they withheld a part, but they came in and they presented what they had as if they were giving it all.
Yes.
It didn't turn out very well for them. They weren't just lying to men. They were lying to God. And it sobers me when I think about the importance of being honest with God. Be honest with yourself and be honest with God. There will be times where the Lord will reveal to us, Rod, you're holding back a part. Because we grow in grace. I'm not perfect. I feel very inadequate to be up here. But you know what? I have a God that's willing to work with me. And He's willing to forgive me. And He's willing to lead me. He's willing to perfect me. And so when He comes along and He says, Rod, you're holding back a part. I want to acknowledge to the Lord, yes, Lord, I'm holding back a part.
Yes.
Lord, help me in this thing. But do you know what we tend to do? Normally we're holding back a part because we don't want to let go of it. Because it's important to us. Because it's valuable to us. And if we're not very careful, we'll find all kinds of reasons to justify what we're holding back on. And to present ourselves before the Lord as if everything's okay. You can't misrepresent yourself with God and get away with it. You might be able to misrepresent yourself with people. You can maybe get by with that, and people do, but you can't get by with that with God. Paul said in the 6th chapter of Galatians, be not deceived. Don't be deceived on this. God is not mocked. That's almost mocking God. If we think we can cover something up in our lives and present ourselves as if all is clear to Him, to God, He said, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. No matter how you present yourself, no matter what your testimony is, don't forget that whatsoever a man soweth, that will he reap. If you reap to your flesh, you're going to of the flesh reap corruption. You want to stay in the seed state? You'll stay in the seed state. The scripture said, except a seed fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. If you allow yourself to remain in the seed state, if you let me use that analogy, that's where you'll end up. And it doesn't matter what your testimony is. It doesn't matter what justifications you have. It doesn't matter how many people you have convinced to agree with you. And we like numbers. There's safety, we think, in numbers. We like getting a crowd behind us that's behind us, and we agree with you and we support you and we can go away feeling good. But that isn't going to stand in the last day. It doesn't matter. God is not mocked. I think of that story of Saul and the sheep. Who was the, was it Nathan? Who was the prophet that came to him? Samuel? Was it Nathan? They told Saul, you go defeat the enemy and you destroy everything. Don't bring anything back. Was it Samuel? Don't hold on to anything because it won't work. Get rid of all of it. Don't partake of it. We talked the other day about Achan. The Lord told him, don't take of the accursed thing. Don't bring the accursed thing among your stuff, lest all of your things become accursed. Don't partake of it. Separate yourself from it. Don't touch it. And he told Saul that. Go destroy him. Don't bring anything back. So the story goes, Saul's up there and Samuel comes up to him and he says, I don't know how all he said it. Hi, you know, King Saul. Say, how did the battle go? Battle went well. So did you follow the instructions of the Lord? Yes, I followed the instructions of the Lord. Everything's good. Everything's good with me and the Lord. We followed the instructions of the Lord. Samuel said, well, what's that sound I hear back there? What is that noise? What's that?
Yes.
Oh, well, you know, We took some of the best because we're going to offer, we're going to use those to offer sacrifices to the Lord. But is that what the Lord asked him to do? It seems like there are times, it's almost like people think that we can convince God why practiced exceptions to his truth is to his benefit. Lord, if I live like this, I can reach people better. Didn't you say to take your gospel and help bring people in? Lord, if I live like this, if I go here, if I do this, I'll be able to reach more people. Isn't that what you want? What did the serpent tell Eve? Oh, listen, God, you know, really the real situation is if you partake of the fruit, well, you'll understand the way God understands better. And, you know, maybe you can commune with him better when he comes down here tonight. You'll understand him better. God just, if you, as long as you partake of it in the right way. It doesn't work. God is, he's a God of truth. He's a God of his word, and we're the created. And God came down and he gave us a set of instructions, and he brought us a salvation, and he brought it to us so that we could have abundant life, so that we could have the best. Why do we try to do it other ways? There's a verse in Proverbs, ever since I read it, it struck me. We'll just go ahead and read it. I'm almost done. Proverbs, the 24th chapter. Read what he said here. 24 and 12. If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? We have been taught truth, saints. We've been blessed with the gospel message. We've been blessed with the path that leads to abundant life. And when we divert off of that path and we start to take the way that's well traveled, And then we come to God and say, when we get caught in it, and we say, well, I didn't know that. I didn't know that's what you meant. I read one time on a little saying that said, when God said to love your enemies, he was serious. Just like he said. When God says live this way, that's what he means. Don't put yourself in the compromising position where you try to justify your way around the truth. There'll come a time, what are you going to tell God that you didn't know? The one that ponders the heart, understands your motives. And there'll come a day when all of our works will be brought into judgment. I don't want to go that way. It's a dead end. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek his righteousness. He said, I'll add all these other things to you. Live your life so you're willing to be as the Ethiopian. Dig into the word of the Lord. Find out what God wants from you. Because he'll show you the way that works. And when he comes as a thief in the night, I want to end in 1 Thessalonians 5. He's going to come, and it's going to be on his terms. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 1, he said, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Saints, I want to say something that is so serious tonight. You have the decision rights tonight to make decisions on how you want to live your life. God has given you those decision rights. He didn't have to, but He did. And today, as long as you have breath, you can decide. You can make choices that err to the Lord that will help you in your walk, or you can make choices that you probably wouldn't like to just sit down and chat with the Lord about. He lets us make those choices. But there is coming a day when God is going to come back and it's going to be His day. And it's going to be on His terms. And it isn't going to matter what our justifications are. It's going to be on His terms. And He gives us no guarantees on when that time is. I want to be ready. Because he told us it'll be like a thief in the night. I don't guarantee you that I'm going to tell you when I'm going to come. And so He told us, now He's talking to the brethren, you're not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. In other words, you may not know the time, but you can expect it. And you can be ready. You're children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Let us watch and be sober. Have your eyes open. Saints, wake up. Understand that this is real. This isn't a game. This is our little amount of time that is going to vanish away like a vapor. This is our dressing room for eternity. This is when we make the choice. Do I want to go the way of the Lord? Or do I not? And He will respect that choice. And then there will be eternity that follows. Wake up. Be sober. Be careful. Be diligent. Have a sense of urgency because it means something. It makes a difference. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober. Put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. God didn't come to make a way so that He could execute His wrath upon us. His whole point was that we would obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why He came. That's why He made the sacrifice. And He has a way for us tonight that is the very definition of abundant life. He didn't just say, I'll give you life. The world can come along and say, well, I'll give you life. Others will come along and say, I've got a different definition that might suit you better. The Lord came along and He said, I'll give you life. And not only that, I came to bring you abundant life. And I'll take care of your needs. I'll put your foot on a rock. I'll put a new song in your heart. I'll lift you up. I'll give you purpose in life. Where is your priorities tonight? What's your goals? What's your vision for life? What do you think about? What's important to you? It begins to speak to where your heart is. Listen. Choose God. Choose His way. Choose the way of righteousness and holiness. It's a wonderful way. Let's be challenged to be as the man from Ethiopia. I want to be like the man who lives his life every day, not just one day where I say, well, you know, 15 years ago I got saved and everything's okay. I want to live every day so that I'm like Paul, who's going down the road saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? And when the Lord says, well, this is the way right here, walk ye in it, then I'll say, well, what doth hinder me? This is the way I want. It's the side of victory. It's the side of salvation. It's the side of eternal life. And it's the side I want to stay on. Be encouraged tonight. Hold fast your profession of faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised. And Paul said, therefore, my beloved brethren, Be ye unmovable, steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Thank the Lord. Amen.